a new edition of the brand called You. Today I have two really, really exciting millennial founders who are doing some very exciting stuff. Swati Pandey, Manish Chauhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sir.
Thank you.
Pleased to be here.
Thank you. Swati and Manish are founders of Arboreal, plant biotech company, and their objective is to create a diabetes-free world. Swati is from IIT and Imperial College. She is an Asia Pacific laureate at Cartier's Women's Initiative Awards of 2018. Manish is from BITS Pilani and from London Business School. Such incredible qualifications. Tell me, what brought the two of you together?
So we originally met 11 years ago,
okay,
at IIT Kanpur, where we were both summer interns. And I think, you know, the internship, I mean, we went our own ways, and then we kind of reconvened in London, where Swati was there, I mean, to pursue her master's. And then I think, you know, life again brought us back in 2015 together, I mean, as co-founders, right? So I think there were like three or four multiple touch points. And I guess, I mean, yeah, we have a lot of vintage together and we've done a lot of stuff together.
So before you came together, and we'll spend a little time talking about Arboreal, tell me a little bit about your individual careers before you started.
Sure. So I am an engineer by background. Yeah. I went to IIT Dhanbad. Mm. And then I worked in the oil and gas space for 1 year with Halliburton. Mm. And then I soon realized that I didn't want to be a part of the problem, but rather the solution. Mm. And that prompted me to go to Imperial College London. And okay, I did my master's there. After that, I tried a couple of things. I worked in investment management. I had a chance to work with Al Gore, mm-hmm, in London. I worked in consulting, tried a little bit of venture capital as well. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, I decided to quit my job in Singapore and I came back to India, okay, to work on this business, okay, full time.
Wonderful. You, Manish?
After doing my bachelor's in computer science from BITS Pilani, I started my career as a research engineer in Oracle Corporation. So I was in the Bangalore office, Bangalore team, and after spending a year and a half, I kind of quickly realized that I don't want to be doing this for the next 40 years of my life. Mm. I was good at what I was doing, but I was not really enjoying it as much, right? So I kind of quickly pivoted, London Business School happened, and that gave me an opportunity to explore, mm, I think, you know, different industries, different career paths. Mm. And I got hooked to investing side of things. I happened to join, I mean, a new fund which was being set up, I mean, by one of my seniors from London Business School. And yeah, we had a good run. So we became one of the top five funds in the world back in 2013. Wow. We deployed close to, I mean, $1 billion in 100 plus companies in 20 different markets. So I think that was, I mean, you know, a really good stint or experience, right? To sit across the table and understand, you know, have a chat with the entrepreneurs and understand, mm, what went right or what went wrong, right? And that was, I mean, a good phase. And then I think, you know, after 5 years, I mean, Swati is one of the two entrepreneurs whom I gave an open offer that at any point of your life, you feel that I can add value to whatever you are doing, I'll happily quit my job and whatever I'm doing, and I'm going to come and join you, right? So 2015 was when Swati gave me that call. And there were multiple things happening around the same time. So I decided that, you know, for the next 5 years of my life, this is something that I would want to pursue.
Wow. Swati, that's an incredible endorsement of,
yeah,
for you. No? You just called and he said, I'm quitting everything.
Yeah, I think I'm lucky to have received, wonderful, that kind of support from everyone.
Wonderful. So let's move to your passion, your company, Arboreal. First, tell me, what does the name mean?
So it comes from, it's a coined word. Mm-hmm. It comes from the word arbor, which means forest. Mm-hmm.
So it means, sorry?
Forest.
Forest, okay.
And arboreal means someone who belongs to the forest or who lives in the forest.
Okay.
And we kind of relate to that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, before I get into stevia and all the other stuff you're doing, you quit very lucrative corporate jobs. Both of you are doing well. You were in Singapore, you were in London, investment banking, great qualifications. What was the motivation to quit?
Right. So for me, it was actually a lot of things. And, you know, like it happens that usually people think that if you want to start up, one day you would just get an idea and then you would just quit everything and, you know, just jump into it. That didn't happen for me like that. It was actually a very thought through decision, and it was actually on multiple fronts. So one was my mother. She has been a diabetic for the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. So I've seen her struggle, and I could clearly see that I, through this business, I can make a difference to, you know, the lives of many such consumers mm-hmm. like her. The second was obviously the farmer's aspect, that, you know, this is a natural product and everything starts from the farm. So we'll have an opportunity to work directly with farmers and make a difference to their lives. And then, of course, the commercial opportunity as well. So as a person, I was never somebody who would just start a business for the sake of making money. For me, the purpose that why I'm doing something, the why of it was as important as the how and what. And so everything kind of came together and it made perfect sense.
And Manish, other than the phone call, what was your reason?
So, I think my reasons were fundamentally very different from Swati's, right? So I do believe in, you know, the mission and, I mean, the opportunity for creating, I mean, large-scale impact, not just, I mean, in terms of improving quality of life for calorie-conscious people or, I mean, the farmers, right? For me, I think, you know, it was more about my own personal journey in my life. So I look at my life in like 5-year chunks, right? So I spent 5 years in technology, 4 years in Bits Pilani, and then 1 year, 1.5 years in Oracle, right? Mm-hmm. I spent another 5 years in investing. And then basically the question for me at that point of my life was that do I want to do this for the next 5 years of my life, which I know I'm enjoying and I'm already good at? Or do I want to dial the risk level kind of one notch up and take a stab at basically, you know, throw myself a minute solving all the big problems, mm-hmm. right, of the world. And I didn't know what problem it was going to be honest, right? But I felt that, I mean, at 28, I mean, I had, I mean, the best education that I could get. I was very lucky and very fortunate. I was debt-free. I was in the peak of my health, right? I had no liabilities. I had an extremely supportive family. And I was like, if I don't do it now, then when, right?
Yeah.
So that was my, I think, you know, deep-rooted, I think, you know, personal reason, I mean, for starting to look at, I mean, entrepreneurship. And then Swati's call incidentally happened around the same time, and I felt that I think, you know, we agree on, I mean, the some of the most important principles, I mean, of what we want to do, right? So, for example, one thing that we discussed, I mean, in detail was that at Arboria, like, we would never pursue any business which does not have a positive triple bottom line impact, right? So let's say an oil and gas business has an immense social impact. It enables mobility, right? There's a financial impact. You can create money out of, you know, make money for so many people, right? But environmentally, it's a negative, you know, it has a negative impact, right? So we would never venture into an oil and gas business, right? At the same time, I think, you know, something that I had recurrently kind of seen during my career in the investing was that whenever we used to invest, I mean, in a science-led startup or basically a deep tech company, right? We would always see that the founder, the CTO, right, would almost always be of Indian origin, right? And then I used to wonder, like, why do we need all these people, I mean, to come to the US, to London and all these places, I mean, to create those companies, right? Either, I mean, our science is like really bad in India, or we're really bad at commercializing our science, right? So for me, I mean, it was, I mean, something on the back of my mind that I think, you know, India needs more entrepreneurs and we need to create more platforms where we can commercialize, I mean, our science and take it to the world, right? So the scope for scientific innovation in this space, and that's why I think of this, I mean, as a plant biotechnology platform company.
Correct.
Stevia, incidentally, is one of the first few products, I mean, that we are focused upon.
Sure.
But yeah, I think, you know, over time, I want to see this, I mean, grow, I mean, as a platform where Indian scientists, I mean, can come and freely commercialize, I mean, their science.
Interesting. So, you know, your mission is to work on diabetes. So let's talk diabetes. How big is the problem of diabetes in our country?
Right. So globally and in our country, both, it's huge. It has taken epidemic proportions. In fact, I think globally, if I remember the numbers correctly, around 550 million people suffer from diabetes.
Wow.
The last time I checked for India, yeah. I think around 13 crore people suffer from
30 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So almost a fourth of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is half diabetic and half pre-diabetic who are on the verge of getting diabetic. Almost, I think one person in every middle class family is a diabetic today, and we can say that through our own direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every friend that we know, every person in our network has somebody in their family who is
mm-hmm.
Diabetic, and sometimes multiple people
mm-hmm.
in their family who is diabetic.
Out of the three of us, I'm diabetic.
Right. And recently, I think I was reading a report by WHO. It's now found to be the third leading cause of death in the world as well. And this has happened only in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, it didn't even figure in the top 10.
So tell me, what causes diabetes? Is it just poor lifestyle, bad habits, genetics? What is your research telling you?
Right. So it's all of them, actually. There are type 1 diabetics and there are type 2 diabetics. So type 1 is usually directly linked to the genetics. Type 2, however, is a lifestyle disease. Okay. In fact, more than 90% of the type 2 cases happen because of lifestyle related things, which is consuming a lot of sugar, not taking care of your health, not doing enough exercise. And that is something that is preventable. And that is what we are trying to address through our product.
Okay. And one more question on diabetes before I move to your first product. Is diabetes, I'm not sure if the word is curable or manageable. You know, is it curable?
So the best, I think, solution even for diabetes is preventive, right? But yes, I mean, it's manageable. I think people even use insulin, right? I mean, or use oral medicines. Drugs. And newer medicines, I mean, are being, I think, devised, I mean, to kind of cure it or manage it better, right? But there is no cure as of now, right? It's only manageable. Yeah, it can't be solved.
Once you get diabetes, then there's only, I mean, you can only manage it. You can't really reverse it.
Okay.
There have been some cases, but there isn't enough scientific evidence that how that happens.
Right.
What is really making that happen.
And one thing that I think we are seeing more and more is that essentially our generation is sleepwalking into diabetes, right? So I've met people who basically are in their early 30s, I mean, even children, right? I mean, they get diabetes and then they get shaken up, right? So one of my friends was narrating, I mean, her own story, and she was a media professional. And when she got diagnosed, I mean, with diabetes, right, she went to the hospital and she realized that there were people literally on dialysis, and she was like, this is going to be my future. I mean, if I don't manage it effectively now, this is where I'm going to end up, right? So that was kind of a big shake-up, wake-up call for her. And she quit her job, and for the next one or couple of years, I mean, she just focused on managing her diabetes and developing those systems, I mean, that help her manage it effectively, right? So I think many people, we don't know, I mean, the serious consequences, I mean, when you get there, right? So the best thing is to basically,
not let it happen.
Not let it happen, right? So one of my friends, I mean, often quotes that, you should start living like a diabetic when you are 35 so that you don't get diabetes, right?
Well said. So let's talk about your first product in Arboreal, which is Stevia, talk to me a little bit about the benefits of Stevia as compared to all the other options that are there in the market.
Right. So Stevia is a completely natural zero calorie sweetener. Mm-hmm. It's completely safe for everyone, including children and pregnant women. Mm-hmm. The advantage over other artificial sweeteners that are available in the market mm-hmm. is that one, it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it doesn't have any side effects. Okay. So most of the other options that you have, alternative sweeteners that you have in the market are primarily based on artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
They are either based on aspartame or sucralose, and they have both found to have side effects in the long run.
Okay.
So aspartame is known to be carcinogenic, and there is scientific evidence to that now. And sucralose messes up with your gut bacteria.
Okay.
So there is scientific evidence to that as well.
Okay.
And I think people are getting more and more aware about that now. But still, I mean, there are a lot of products in the market that sell tabletop sweeteners as natural products, but they are actually not natural.
Sure.
And that education is still not there.
Sure. So, when I first tried Stevia many, many years ago, there was a very bitter aftertaste.
Yeah.
And then when I tried what you have made, I didn't find that at all. What are you doing differently with Stevia?
Actually, quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you need to first diagnose, the root cause of bitterness,
mm-hmm.
right? So first thing we started, understanding, the different compounds, in the Stevia leaf, right? We figured that, certain molecules are better tasting compared to the other ones, right? So then we worked, on the agricultural biotechnology part of it. So we basically developed, non-GMO varieties, which naturally had, a higher composition or relatively higher proportion, of the right kind of sweet molecules,
mm-hmm.
right? So our leaf itself basically is better tasting,
mm-hmm.
right? Then the second part, then basically comes the processing part of it, right? So in processing, I mean, most companies, what they do is that they use, I mean, a lot of harsh chemicals, right? And they induce many impurities. Mm-hmm. So first thing is that, I mean, you have less impurities to begin with. And the second part is that I think we are better, I mean, in terms of enriching the right molecules and rejecting the impurities. And we use, I mean, a completely organic, you know, water-based process, I mean, for our extraction.
Yeah.
So we're not inducing anything extra to the process, mm-hmm. right? So there are no traces, I mean, of anything else that might have, made its way into the process or the product, right? And the third part is basically the understanding, I mean, the sensory side of things. So on this, I mean, I realize, I mean, that there's something called the synergistic effect when it comes to, especially when it comes to natural compounds.
Mm.
And this is a very evolved and understood concept in Ayurveda, for example. So when you take, let's say, haldi or honey together, right? And the reason is not just, I mean, to improve in the overall taste of the formulation, but also they amplify and they synergistically kind of amplify each other's, functional benefits, right? So this is something that, I mean, we actually applied, I mean, to stevia. So we basically blend, stevia with other natural ingredients, I mean, to take the benefit of the synergistic effect, right? And to create, I mean, a more well-balanced taste, as well as also amplify, I mean, its sweetening as well as other functional properties, right? So that's what, I mean, we have been doing on different fronts.
So my next question to you is on your brand. You know, when I last met you, you were building on, developing your own brand.
Yeah.
Tell me about the brand or the brands, and what are your plans for these brands?
Right. So we are primarily a B2B company. So we have been working with other FMCG and food and beverage companies, and we help them with reformulating their products or launching new products that are lower calories. And our approach is that it's a very customized approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with every single client, separately. It's a very hands-on approach.
Mm-hmm.
Our formulations team directly works with them, understands their requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we prepare a blend which is very, very customized for their particular application.
Okay.
So that is the approach on the B2B side. And the brand there is Arboreal.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trying to get to the consumers directly, primarily because of the pull from their end.
Correct.
We've been working, on stevia for the last 5 years, and we often, get asked by people in our network that where do we get your stevia? I mean, you keep talking about all these nuances and everything, but where do we even find your stevia? So we felt that we needed to make it available. And so for that, we have developed a product, which is proprietary to us, and it's called Magic Green Stevia.
Okay.
And we are taking it to the market in a B2B2C fashion. So it's available on Amazon. We are talking to some of the cafe and hotel chains also to make them available.
Okay. And this brand is called Magic Leaf.
Magic Leaf Stevia.
Magic Leaf Stevia. And is it available only as a powder or in tablets also?
So it's available as a powder right now. We are working on a liquid formulation as well.
Okay. Very interesting.
So one of the reasons why we didn't want to go the tablet route was because it makes my father kind of feel like, I mean, he's ill, right? He's taking something like a medicine, right? So we didn't intend, I mean, stevia to be a medicine. We want this to be, I mean, a general purpose sweetener, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Just like the way you used to.
Sure, sure. I agree. So my last question to you on Arboreal before I move to some of your learnings as a startup is that, you're a plant biotech company. You mentioned that you have started with stevia. What are your other thoughts, if they're not confidential, on working towards your mission of making this world diabetes free?
Right. So one is definitely on the awareness front. People still do not know, like you were saying earlier, the consequences of getting diabetes, which I think is very important for people to know, to start taking these things seriously, that why do they need to cut down on sugar? So that's one. Awareness around lifestyle as well, not just eating, but also that you need to be more active. I think as Indians, we tend to do very less exercise, including me and us. But I think we need to get more active. And that is now happening. That's changing. But I think if we could accelerate that, I mean, we would love to play a part on that front as well. On the products front, we have a few ideas. Some of those ideas are confidential.
Okay.
But there are some other natural products as well that we will be looking to work on.
Sure. Wonderful. So let's move on to some of your learnings as a startup enterprise. The first question I have is to both of you. A lot of people tell me that a startup should be done with a solo founder. And a lot of people say you should have co-founders. You are co-founders. So what are your views on this?
Well, I think you should definitely have a partner.
Okay.
Because entrepreneurship as a journey itself is very lonely.
Correct.
It can get very lonely sometimes, and you have, you know, extreme lows and extreme highs. Mm. And if you could have somebody to share both of them, I mean, that's really helpful.
Mm.
And also, not everybody can be good at everything, right? So if you can have people who have complementary skill sets, that also makes sense from
okay.
a business and, you know, management perspective.
Okay. And, you know, what are some of the mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make? I mean, I'm sure you know lots of people in your community of friends who are entrepreneurs.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some of the basic mistakes a lot of us have made? I mean, I've made lots of mistakes, but I'm much, much older than all of you.
And much more experienced.
So first thing that comes to my mind is that starting up for the wrong reasons.
Mm.
I think a lot of people do that. I remember, receiving a call a few years ago from one of my friends when I was in Singapore, and he said that, you know, you should come back to India because, you know, there's so much capital available easily and people are getting funds on day zero, you know, just on the basis of an idea. So I felt that that is probably a wrong reason to start up, just because there's so much capital available, just because everybody is doing it and suddenly it's sexy thing to do. So I think if you, like I said, that entrepreneurship is a lonely journey and it can get really tough, really difficult. So if you're not passionate about the problem that you're trying to solve, then you will not be able to survive. So you need to know why you're getting into it.
I was actually, I have a lot of respect, I mean, for Bill Gross, I mean, who was the founder of Idea Lab. And he's been investing in startups like since the 90s in the Silicon Valley and globally, right? And I was watching one of his, I think, TED Talks, right? Where, I mean, he talked about that they have analyzed like, you know, hundreds of, I mean, of startups that they've invested in, tried to identify what are the most crucial factors, I mean, why startups win or fail, right? Succeed or fail. And what's the difference? What explains the difference? And they realized, I mean, that much more, I mean, than the quality of the team or the business, idea or the industry or the amount of capital available, it actually had to do with the timing, right? So I think most entrepreneurs, when they're starting up, they don't think deeply about why a few years ago was too early and why a few years from now will be too late for this startup, right? So I remember, like, you know, my ex-boss, actually, he developed, I mean, a VoIP solution, I mean, for Ericsson back in 1997, right? And there were no takers because, I mean, the infrastructure, I mean, for VoIP calls was not, you know,
okay.
was not there, right? And 2006, Skype happens and becomes a big story, right? You know, so I think the timing actually plays, I mean, a very important role, and every entrepreneur should think like very deeply about this. The second thing, I mean, that I feel that many people, I mean, actually don't, again, I think deeply about is the kind of investor they want to raise money from, right? So the investor, I mean, whomsoever you're choosing, has to be very aligned, I mean, with what you are trying to do and what timelines and how you want to do it, right? So when you raise money, so I have actually friends, right, who have raised money, I mean, from VCs, and then they put them on a treadmill, I mean, for an exit in 7 years, right? So if you're on the treadmill, I mean, to 7 years, then you have to know that you have to exit in 7 years, right? On the flip side, for example, we believe that we are building this platform for 20 years, right? So the kind of investors, I mean, for 5 year horizons or 3 year horizons will not be the right partners for us in this journey, right? So many people actually, they kind of regret that, you know, that they did, and now, the company is folding up because the investor is forcing them for an exit and liquidate, I mean, their stake, right? So I think entrepreneurs should be, I think, you know, more thinking more about these things, I mean, early on than trying to figure it out later.
And I want to add one thing, is that I see a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, getting trapped or getting lured by, you know, raising a lot of funds.
Valuations.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And not really focusing on the bottom line or the profitability or the unit economics of your business. So raising a lot of money doesn't really mean that you have a sound business model.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people tend to get trapped into that.
Okay. So I only have quite time for maybe two questions.
Yeah.
This question would be to both of you individually also. You know, in the last 10-12 years, or maybe in your life, have you had people who've had an influence on you? And if yes, what have been your learnings? So maybe Swati, you first and then Manish.
Right. So personally, people that I've known and have influenced me are, of course, my parents and some of my friends. But I've taken a lot of inspiration from Bill Gates and Sheryl Sandberg. Mm-hmm. So they are kind of my idols. I haven't gotten a chance to meet them yet, but hopefully one day.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Gates specifically, because that kind of changed the definition of capitalism for me. That, you know, gave me an understanding that actually making a lot of money isn't always bad. I mean, mm-hmm. it can actually be a force for a lot of good.
I agree.
So that's
he's done amazing stuff in the world.
Yeah.
I think my mother has been a big influence on my life. But apart from her, I mean, at many points of my life, I mean, when I've hit an extreme low, there have like people from unknown places have come and lifted me up, mm-hmm. right? So I think a lot of the credit, I mean, for my life, I mean, goes to, you know, a couple of teachers that I met. So one of them was in school, my math teacher, Rakesh Gaur. So he actually played a huge influence on my life.
Mm-hmm.
So he pushed me and gave me early opportunities, I mean, to go to Olympiads and all these things. And he trained me for the International Mathematical Olympiad and encouraged me to kind of, you know, go and pursue IIT or engineering in general, right? When I went to BITS Pilani, again, I mean, you know, I started off very well. I mean, I was doing very well academically. And then I kind of, you know, spiraled down. And then Girishan sir, who was, you know, a lecturer in the computer science department, right? So he believed in me, right? So I think at that point, his belief kind of, you know, brought me back on track and restored my confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are many people at many points of my life, you know, who have kind of lifted me, given me a helping hand, or most importantly, just believed in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I didn't believe in myself, right? And I think that is something that is that has played a very important role in my life.
Okay. So I've got time for just one more question, and that's going to be on failure.
Mm-hmm.
All of us fail, all
yeah.
of us learn, all of us keep moving on. And yet a lot of people believe that failure is not good.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some of your learnings from your failures? And maybe I'll ask Manish to go first on this one.
I think I've lost count of the number of things I mean, I've failed at. But I think, you know, one thing that I firmly believe in is to just not stop trying, right? And I believe that there's always a next time, right? So failure either I mean has been an opportunity for me to do course correction and do better next time, right? Or I have tried, I mean, to kind of manage it, right? To the best of my ability, right? So any problem in the world can either be solved or it can be managed.
Okay.
So if I'm failed at something, either can be solved later by attempting again, or I mean, I manage it, I mean, the best of my ability.
Yeah. One of my biggest learnings have been that failure is never final. You know, and it's never fatal. So whatever it is, I mean, you may think that the world has come to an end and, you know, there's no going forward from here, but there always is a way. And that has been the biggest learning. And I think entrepreneurship out of everything else, you know, teaches you that very, very well. We have failed so many times. And sometimes what happens is that you fail at it in one attempt and then you do it again and then you succeed.
Okay.
And I think that has given us a new perspective, especially when we hire people. We always have a preference for people who have tried something and failed, rather than somebody who has come from a, you know, a proper corporate, you know, background or just has a degree and no experience.
Wonderful. So Swati and Manish, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to both of you. And I wish Arboreal and all your other ventures after this lots of success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.